choose life. Now, if you have been here for any length of time, you will see, have seen portions of what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. Some of it you may not have, but I think that once a year it's important at least to be able to talk to us about what the Bible has to say about choosing life and why abortion is wrong. So we'll move on with the presentation. Now, what you have here is a baby. Now, this picture was taken with a special camera before the baby was born. One of the great tragedies that I have seen since January 22nd of 1973, when the Supreme Court decided that you could have an abortion in Roe versus Wade, is that there have been 48 million preborn children who have been killed by abortion. That is astronomical, my friends. You can't call abortion anything save a holocaust of gargantuan of proportions, and the blood of those innocent children cries from the ground. You know, it's been 32 years since the infamous Supreme Court decision known as Roe versus Wade. And what had happened was, as this horrendous decision kicked open the door to legally murdering unborn children, and now even partially born children with what is known as partial birth abortion. A baby can be three quarters born and only miss just a small section, and then it is legal now to have this baby who is nearly born killed by abortion. This man has a lot to account to God for. His name is Justice Harry Blackmun, and Justice Blackmun wrote in his majority opinion, "Texas urges that life begins at conception and is present throughout pregnancy. Therefore, the state has a compelling interest in protecting the life from and after conception." Now, that's what stated. That's what Texas was going for in Roe v. Wade, is the protection of the preborn. However, Blackmun then writes this: "We need not resolve the difficult question of when life begins. The judiciary at this point in the development of man's knowledge is not in a position to speculate as to the answer." When is that? What is he saying? What answer? When life begins. Blackmun says we're not going to speculate when life begins. Nobody knows when life begins. Now, some of you wonder why I like Supreme Court Chief Justice and am praying for him and his recovery, though I think he's only going to serve through the ending of this Supreme Court term, and then I think he's going to retire. That's an opinion. But Justice William Rehnquist wrote the dissenting opinion along with one other man in relationship to Roe v. Wade, and he is a Wisconsin man, as you know, originally. But he said this. Rehnquist wrote, "The court's opinion brings to the decision of this troubling question both extensive historical fact and a wealth of legal scholarship. I find myself in fundamental disagreement with those parts of it that invalidate the Texas statute in question and therefore dissent." And what was the Texas statute? Life begins at conception. Rehnquist said, "I cannot go along with this. I have to write this minority opinion because I believe that it is wrong to invalidate the Texas statute that says life begins at conception." So, the big question, friends, the question for you and the question for your children and what you will teach your children, The big question is it speculation to say that life begins at conception? Is that just a matter of speculation that nobody can know? In fact, throughout Blackman's writing, he talks about the theory of conception, when conception begins. I posit to you this morning that it's not a theory at all. And here is why. Medical textbooks say that life begins at conception. This is a medical textbook on embryology. It's called The Developing Human, Clinically Oriented Embryology. And it'll use some terms that you might not understand, but just please listen. And it gives a definition of a zygote. This cell results from the union of the oocyte and the sperm. The zygote is the beginning of a new human being, an embryo. Human development begins at fertilization. This highly specialized totipotent cell marks the beginning of each of us as a unique individual. What's he saying? Life begins at conception. And then there's another book on embryology called Human Embryology and Teratology. Fertilization is an important landmark because under ordinary circumstances, a new genetically distinct human organism is thereby formed. So what do medical doctors say? It says it in many of the textbooks. So what do medical doctors have to say about the beginning of life? Well, this doctor from the University of Pennsylvania says, I have learned from my earliest medical education that human life begins at the time of conception. This doctor from the University of Descartes says, after fertilization has taken place, a new human being has come into being. Or what about this doctor from Mayo Clinic? By all criteria of modern molecular biology, life is present from the moment of conception. And finally, from Harvard University Medical School, Dr. Matthews Roth says this, it is scientifically correct to say that an individual life begins at conception. Now, I'm glad that we have the testimony of the medical books. However, I believe that life began at conception if every medical book on the market said life doesn't begin till you're 3 years old. I would still believe that life begins at conception. I'm glad that we have the testimony of a good number of doctors that say life begins at conception. But even if not one doctor would say that life begins at conception, I would still believe that life begins at conception because the Bible is clear that life begins at conception. I am thinking of what we read in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 15. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and in verse 15, it says this, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now watch this. This is speaking of the prophet Jeremiah. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. He set Jeremiah apart before he was even born. That indicates very clearly that his life began at conception. And the Bible also says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. This is speaking about John Baptist now. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. You say, oh, that means after he's born. No, it doesn't. Dr. John Gill, one of my favorite old Baptist theologians, writes this. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb means whilst in his mother's womb. So here you have one who is filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament sense, filled with the Holy Spirit even while he was in his mother's womb. How do we know? If you were to read down a little bit further in verses 41 and 42 of Luke chapter 1, when Mary and Elizabeth are conversing at the mention of Mary's pregnancy and the coming birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says the babe leapt for joy. Very interesting. I just want to tell you that the book here, the book, the Bible, the Holy Bible, says life begins when? At conception. And we need to stand on that. We need to teach our children that. We need to teach them the sanctity of human life, because we live in a culture that hates God, and the Bible says all that hate me love death. We live in a death-oriented culture today where life is expendable. Life is not considered sacred. And people just figure that they can do with it what they want to do with it. And Pastor Darrell read this morning Psalm 139, 13 through 16. We read this. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins." God knows everything about us. All of our makeup. "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me." We're going to come back to this word covered in a moment. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as of yet there was none of them," or none of them seen. Well, I want you to focus on the word covered in mother's womb. The word covered here is the Hebrew word sakak. And the Hebrew word sakak is a very interesting word. It means to weave or knit together. And there is a little song that is sung today that says, "I was knit together in my mother's womb," and that is right. That is what the Hebrew word means, that a young child at conception, at the moment of conception, is knit together in his mother's womb. All of it is there from the moment of conception, and that is why I am so against embryonic cell research. Embryonic cell research. Some of you, several months back, saw a presentation that I did on embryonic cell research, and I didn't think it was too quick to share it with you again, even though I think I shared it in the evening service. But what happens is a life is destroyed. You can get stem cells from many different places. You can get stem cells from blood. There's no problem with that. You can get stem cells from a lot of different places. You don't have to destroy an embryo. California now, they're all on the bandwagon, and they financed, because our president, thank the Lord, said no federal money for embryonic cell research. He doesn't want little babies being killed. And California is going to dump all this money in, and already they're worried, because early results are showing that embryonic cells are not nearly as effective as many other cells, many other stem cells that you can get. So there's some problems there, but you don't have the right to destroy a life in those type of things. Children are woven or knit together in their mother's womb by God. And we are fearfully or awesomely and wonderfully, that's uniquely made. There aren't any two of us that have the same fingerprints. You think about that, of the over 5 billion people, no two have the same, and I understand it, as I understand it, our irises are all different. And that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all after looking at the fact that they can find no two snowflakes that are alike. Why can't he make people different? He does. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is genuinely awesome. Amen? When does life begin? Well, I hope my daughter and son-in-law don't mind, but this first picture is pre-born Emily Victoria Thanis. And right here is Emily Victoria's mouth, and right here is Emily's nose, and here's one eye, and here's another eye, and here's the forehead right here. And Emily was a baby, and this is Emily now. Fearfully and wonderfully made. What a blessing. Do just because there was a day's different, would somebody have the right to murder this little baby when the next day the little baby would be like this? The answer is no. Life begins at conception. I hope you're not offended by the picture, but this is little tiny Samuel Armas as he grips Dr. Joseph P. Bruner's finger just as Bruner completed a surgical procedure on the 21-week-old infant. The infant was born. The infant is alive and doing well. This is a pre-born baby gripping the doctor's finger. It is not a blob of tissue. It's a baby. It's a baby. Some facts that I need to share. The fetal heart begins to beat, begins to form 18 days after conception. There we go. Fetal heart begins to form 18 days after conception. A measurable heartbeat occurs from 21 to 24 days after conception. Sorry that the picture of that didn't show. The fetal brain waves begins to form on the 23rd day, and brain waves are produced by the 6th week. Brain waves produced by the 6th week. A little bit more. At 8 weeks after conception, the stomach, the liver, and the kidneys of the baby are functioning, and fingerprints have formed, albeit very tiny. At 9 weeks, an unborn child can feel pain. At 9 weeks, it squints. He or she squints or swallows or moves his tongue and makes a fist. One of the pictures we had of little Emily was she had her fist up to her mouth. At 18 weeks, vocal cords work and can cry. And some moms can tell you about babies crying before they're born. Interesting. 20 weeks, has hair on the head, weighs a pound, 12 inches long. 24 weeks, listen to this. At 24 weeks, 56% of babies survive premature birth. Now think about that. At 24 weeks. God's view of children. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. I want to stop there for a minute. Heritage doesn't mean that you own them. Heritage means that you're stewards of those children. Heritage means that you are entrusted by God with these little ones to rear in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You know, it's tragic today, but you see a lot of these people, particularly actresses, who either haven't gotten married or haven't been able to sustain a marriage, and they come to a point of success in their career, and things begin to dim a little bit. You know what they want? You know what they want? They want a baby. It's been in vogue in Hollywood, whether you're married, whether you're not married, to have a baby. Why? Because inside of a woman is programmed the desire to have children. If they don't have the desire at some point to have children, there's something wrong. You see, God has put it there. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Children are a reward or a blessing from God. Now, when you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes you have to remind yourself they still are the blessing of God. I just want to say this, that God makes it clear in His Word that we reverence and protect human life. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 10 says, the innocent blood... That innocent blood be not shed in thy land. Who's going to protect these little ones? If we don't stand up and preach, if we don't have the Alpha Woman Center, if we don't support ministries, good solid ministry, who is going to stand for them? We need to stand for him. The unsaved world, for the most part, is not. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And so blood be upon thee. Innocent blood. There's no more innocent blood than a preborn baby who cannot protect themselves in the least. Six things doth the Lord hate, and among those six things are hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. These butcher doctors that are abortionists, boy, do they have to give an account when they stand before the great white throne of judgment. Because, listen to me, these boyfriends who urge their girlfriends to have abortions because the baby's going to interfere with them, they have to account in that time, friends. Parents who rather than be embarrassed... there's Christian parents who have urged their kids to get an abortion. They have to account before God who says He hates the shedding of innocent blood, and I believe that includes the unborn. And then the girl herself who makes that choice. Now, there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? And if you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that blood will be covered with Jesus' blood. God demands that we reverence and protect human life. Proverbs 24:11 and 12 says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, in other words, if you stand back and don't try and help, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou say, behold, I knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the hearts consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? The answer is yes, he will render. Abortion is killing a baby. Thou shalt not kill. If you look up the word there, it means thou shalt not murder. It's not talking about serving your nation in war. It's not talking about protecting your family in self-defense. It's talking about premeditated murder. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Or how about Exodus 21, 22 through 25? If a man strive and hurt a woman with child, carrying a child. Now watch this. So that her fruit depart from her, so that she has a miscarriage. And yet no mischief follow. The baby's all right. It says, he shall be punished according to the woman's husband. According to the woman's husband will lay on him. Will lay upon him, that is. And he shall pay as the judges determine. That's causing a premature birth there. There was judgment even in causing that. But look at this. And if mischief follow, the baby dies. If mischief follow, then shalt thou give, look at this, life for what? Life. Texas was right. Texas was right in Roe v. Wade. Thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. It is clear that God looks at the preborn baby as a baby, an individual, a human being. You can't deny it when you look at Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 through 25. Well, one of our nation's key founding principles was this. Our nation was founded on the basis of the sanctity and protection of human life and the punishment of those who take it. Say, oh yeah? Yes, Thomas Jefferson wrote this on the purpose of government. Jefferson said the care for human life is the first and only legitimate object of good government. Did you see that? Jefferson. The care of human life is the first and only legitimate object of good government. Not passing laws to kill. It's like the Hippocratic Oath. There was a great uproar at first when abortion came because the Hippocratic Oath demands that you take the life to preserve and to protect life. The Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator. Today you have to read it like this, that all men are endowed by the with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life is the first one. And then liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Governments are instituted among men for what? For preserving what? Life. We need to stay focused. We need to stay focused. We need to realize and pray for the ministry of like the Alpha Woman Center. We need to understand and explain to our children the sanctity of life, both old and young, because let me tell you what's happening in many European countries now, particularly up there in Holland and in Sweden and Denmark. You know, they can decide that old people's life aren't worth living anymore. And in one of the nations, they don't even need the families. They don't even need the family's permission anymore. They just think, oh, well, yeah, this person's lived long enough. Let's just give him a shot. You wouldn't do that. You know, one of the things that I repeat to myself often, my dad's not here this morning, but one of the things I repeat to myself often on purpose is to keep it before me as I seek to care for him. Despise not your parents when they're old. Why do I tell myself that? I never want to lose the sanctity for life. And all this argument of quality of life, if my dad was in another nation, they might just decide to shoot him and kill him. I mean, inoculate, you know, give him a shot. And my friends, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, my battery's okay. That's wonderful. John Quincy Adams, who was a believer, by the way, suggested this. How do you keep a nation on track? Listen to what John Quincy Adams had to say. 3 point, you realize he was one of the presidents? He isn't some wily-eyed fundamentalist Baptist preacher. I'm not wily-eyed, maybe a little tire-eyed this morning, but I'll tell you what, he was right on. 3 points of doctrine form the foundation of morality. What are they? First is the existence of God. Why do so many people want to do away with God? Because then they don't think they have responsibility to anybody. Number two is the immortality of the soul. This soul that inhabits this body and yours will live on for all of eternity in either heaven or hell. Now he goes on with the third to say this. The third is a future state of rewards and punishment. That's what keeps things on track. Belief in the existence of God, the immortality of the soul, and a future state of rewards and punishment, or judgment if you would. Now look what he says. Back then, he was saying it as, you know, I hope that it doesn't happen, and it wasn't in his time. Suppose it possible for a man to disbelieve any of these articles of faith, and that man have no it says, and that man will have no conscience. Let me say it again. Suppose it possible for a man to disbelieve any of these articles of faith, and that man will have no conscience. You know, that's where we're at today. That's why there's no respect for authority, no respect for family, no respect for life, because we have a bunch of people running around without a conscience. They don't believe in God. They don't think they're accountable to anybody. They don't believe in the immortality of the soul. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. And so they're their own God. And look what John Quincy Adams said. Some of you remember this from a previous message. He said, if that happens, he will have no other law than that of the tiger and the shark. Here's these little ones. What chance do they have against the tiger and the shark? Today, increasingly, friends, increasingly, the law of the tiger and the shark is prevailing. We must stand up, be the salt and light that we're called to be. Roe versus Wade, 1973. Since abortion was legalized, as I started out by telling you, 48 million babies have been murdered. The population of the United States is about 295 million today. And you divide 48 million by 295 million, you know what you come up with? Now you think about this. You want to be aghast. You think about this. That is 16% of the population of the United States of America. That's a gigantic holocaust. Do you know why Social Security is soon to be on the rocks, friends? We have two complete generations that are missing, friends. Look around. Look around. While we have children in the church and a few teenagers, we don't have a lot. 16% of Americans' population was aborted. That's frightening. I just want to tell you, I am praying that our president is able to get through justices, though it'll be a battle because it is an ideological battle. I'm praying that he's going to appoint Supreme Court justices that are worth their salt, that believe in the sanctity of human life, not just in the Supreme Court, but all in the court system. And I believe that he'll have a chance to do two of them during his term. And it's going to be a battle, but there is a possibility. And they're worried about it, that Roe v. Wade is going to be reversed. Ah! Freedom is going to be curtailed! Bless God, the day that it would be reversed! But we need to pray for it. I don't know that it'll happen, but I just want to tell you, Why should we try and persuade others that abortion is wrong? Well, you should do it first of all because the Bible says life begins at conception. But I want you to know that there is nearly a 50-50 split, nearly a 50-50 split on abortion. Only 50% feel strongly one way or the other. So that means that nearly half have no strong opinion. They're waiting to be convinced. These are statistics by weeks of gestation. And get the little arrow here, beginning on this down. Therefore, 78% of abortions occur after fetal brainwaves have begun. 78% of all abortions begin after fetal brainwaves can be measured. That's after 18 weeks. And there's the percentages. Well, we must tell people the truth about abortion and pray that God will open their eyes to the fact that abortion is murder, that abortion kills children, and that abortion harms the mother psychologically and sometimes physically. I've counseled ladies in the past from this church who've had abortion before they were saved, and even one case, I think, after they were saved when they were a young Christian. And I have a special tract that was written by a lady who had had one, and it's been a comfort to those ladies. You know what? It leaves its marks. It leaves its marks. But God can heal and forgive. I just want to urge you this morning to choose life. Many of you have, perhaps all of you, I don't know, but we need to stand for life and continue to stand for life. And I praise the Lord for every single solitary one of you who put a penny, a nickel, a dime, a quarter, a dollar, a hundred, 500 into the Alpha Woman Center baby bottle or boomerang, and those of you who regularly give in your tithes and offerings, and those who have given in the walk for life. Because one of the things that Pastor Darrell and I and several other preachers around years ago when we started Baptist for Life and when we urged the starting of Alpha Woman Center, we wanted to be able to be with ministries that not only sought to save babies, but sought to give the gospel to the moms and occasionally to the dads when they came in so that they could be saved, because a person who gets saved is a whole lot more less likely to abort another one or to abort one than one who's not. And we didn't have to stand beside unsaved people who are doing their thing. Praise God for all of you who have been faithful in supporting these ministries. And as the Apostle Paul said, these things, these blessings, these rewards will be added to your account, friends. What can we do? The same ending that I used last year, but it's the same thing. Different presentation, but the same thing. What can we do? Number one, we can show respect to others, old or young. Number two, teach your children the biblical truths about the sanctity of life. Speak out publicly for biblical values. Support pro-life causes. Distribute pro-life literature. Win others to Christ. Even though this is from 1974 and we did it this past year, I couldn't find those pictures I took that day. Can't remember whether I even took any. But as a church, as the leader, the pastor, and the assistant pastor of this church, and in our budget, as congregation, you voted it, we are without apology pro-life. If you have a struggle, you've had an abortion in the past, I have people who can talk with you and show you from the Scripture how to handle that and talk to you about the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are pregnant and struggling, let me give you the address of the Alpha Woman Center, because God tells us that we are created in His image and in His likeness, and therefore we are not to treat life as something that is disposable, friends. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We should not play God. And you may not like it, but you should vote for people who are pro-life as well. I don't care what party, but you should vote for people who are pro-life and support people who are pro-life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, friends, it all starts there. I would certainly encourage you to be able to recognize that Jesus Christ can forgive your sins and will save your soul. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And we'll get our song leader moving this direction. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're serious now and not pretending, you could pray right where you're at something like this. You could pray, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I recognize that I cannot save myself. This very moment I repent of my sins, Lord Jesus, and ask you to come into my life. I ask you to forgive my sins. And I ask you to save my soul and make me to be the kind of person you want me to be. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to say, Preacher, I prayed that prayer. I was serious this morning. I was honest. I trusted Christ. I call on His name. Anyone? Can I see your hand? I'll not embarrass you. Anyone at all? Yes, I see the hand. Anybody else? All right. Now, if you're a believer already, and you've been struggling, maybe you aborted a little one, you're a lady here, just realize that 1 John is yours. Says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, I will preach strongly against abortion to try and keep anybody from doing that. But by the same token, there is healing and forgiveness with God. And if you're somebody here this morning, you've counseled somebody to have an abortion, you could confess that and get that under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will heal you if you're a believer as well. Don't carry around that guilt. And then stand for life. One of the best counselors that I've ever known in that area was one who had undergone the tragedy of abortion in her life. She got it right with God and was able to be a help to many women. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for the good support from our people here for the Alpha Woman Center and the Baby Bottle Boomerang, and Lord, in our church budget, we do the same. And Lord, help us to go forth from here, standing for the principle of the sanctity of human life in your word. Guide and direct us now through this day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.